Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Nerdy Show. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
I'm Boar.
Hey, I'm Doug.
And hey, guys, you've tuned into the right place, because from comics and video games to science technology, if it's geeky, we've got it covered. Every other week, we come to you with a pop culture deluge of all kinds of content that's trickled in over the web space and into our brains, and we share it with you. And then every other week, some weird stuff happens. Last week in particular, where some very weird stuff happened. But this time, we're going to be talking about some video games, we're going to be talking about some sci-tech, some unusual things relating to mass extinctions, the things you agree to when you buy a product, and some surprise returns from the animation world. That'll, maybe some other stuff if we'd have time for it. First up, how you guys been? What you been doing?
I've been you know, lazy, sitting around.
Lazy, tired. Sitting around, tired?
No,
That's not entertaining or fun.
I have been working for like 3 weeks, which was great, but then I had to start working again, which was not great.
Right.
Because there were just crappy shifts, so I didn't get to play a lot of video games last week. But this funny thing happened, sort of funny. Basically, like, this is not safe for, well, it's safe for work, fuck you.
This show isn't safe for work.
Yeah,
like,
don't,
okay,
don't
so,
ever
so
play
like
this
a week ago, I was messing around with the Denica, as I call her.
Uh-huh.
You know,
in what regard?
In bed, whatever. Okay, get your mind in the gutter.
Well, okay, look
in the gutter.
That's where I was.
Let's not worry about if it's safe for work. Is this safe? I mean, Denica is also a host of the show.
Oh, she's gonna hear me and kill me. But
okay.
But anyway, well,
I'm
you know,
all
if she listens
for this so far. Let's go.
Well, it was just awkward because basically, you know, doing some stuff in bed, and all of a sudden she's like, you know, like whisper something in my ear, and I was like, oh shit. What do I do? Mind blank,
pressure.
like, and it's like,
please
one,
tell me you did.
One
Welcome
second,
to underground radio.
I didn't remember that. 1 second went by, 2 seconds. I was like, this is getting awkward. I'm killing the mood. So I was just like, once upon a time, there was a beautiful frog prince, and he was cursed by an evil witch to turn into a human boy. And the only way to lift the curse was a beautiful frog woman had to kiss him, and I was like really struggling. I was like,
how did you get through that without her kicking you off?
She was staring in my eyes the whole time, and I was like, by the end of the story, because I guess she wanted me to say something dirty. I was like, he fell in a well and got filthy, and then he starved to death and died. And then she's like, that is not what I meant. And I was like, that's all I got. And then we finished. And then we went our separate ways, as we do. So yeah, that was my whatever day that was.
Well, that's a real humdinger.
Yep. True story, guys. Anyway, who else had a great time this week?
Well,
nothing like that, man.
I just thought I would share that awkward story for everyone.
Just normal human activities for me, you know, work and other happenings, friends and social gatherings.
I don't have normal shit happening.
The normal human stuff. What about you, Doug?
Well, we've been doing normal human stuff too, Doug and I.
Yeah.
Normal human stuff that involves no human contact whatsoever. Mm-hmm. The safe way, the way God intended. And that is Miitomo, mm-hmm. Which is an app that Nintendo's created that is highly addictive and super pointless.
And it saps so much of your battery that you're plugged in right now.
Because we're both plugged in right now.
can you please explain what this is? Because you guys are just going back and forth on the couch. I have no idea what's happening.
I don't know if I could actually explain it because I don't fully understand what it's doing.
Do you remember a social network thing that probably doesn't exist anymore called Formspring?
I remember IMVU.
it's like Formspring was a service where you were asked questions. The community was asked questions, and then like people could ask you questions directly, and you'd answer them. And you'd either say pointless stuff like, you know, like, what's your favorite movie? You'd say your favorite movie, or maybe be something a little bit more abstract. And I did get hooked on it for like about a month, and it was kind of interesting because if a boring question came up, I'd create something that was actually interesting to me, you know, in response to it, that was hopefully interesting to read as well.
What was the point of that? Like, wouldn't it get boring?
Oh, well, okay. I mean, you know, you get to know the other people that you're reading the question.
And it's a terrible time sink. And sometimes it asks you a question that's so simple, but it's also kind of disarming. You think, what do I actually think about
that? What's your favorite color? You're like, oh shit.
This is an entire, game dedicated to that, but it's with your Miis interacting with other people's Miis. You have outfits, you play mini games, and basically, yeah, it's basically Formspring.
So far.
It does sound awful, and it's weirdly addictive. I don't understand it, but let me play a sample here because it has a Vocaloid kind of text to speech.
You can
sort
pick
of
your
thing.
Miis sound, like how their voice sounds.
Yeah, and you adjust it via like a web. So right now, I'm actually in the room with Doug here on this thing, and
they're not saying actual words.
Right, those aren't. Okay. This is a semblance
this is great
of, the,
radio.
Of them. Of them talking, but here I'm gonna talk to Doug. Doug says, "Yo,
hey, if I could freeze time, this is the first thing I'd do. Help, to meet an untimely end."
Oh, I accidentally clicked forward. We'll do this again. Next up, sorry.
This has really gotten my attention lately. Tesla unveiling their Model 3. It looks so awesome.
Why does Doug sound like RuPaul? Also,
yeah, Boar thinks I sound like RuPaul.
In terms of being a city boy or country dude, I'm all about. Depends, but I guess the city.
And I don't understand. Are you guys asking just each other personal questions that you couldn't do face to face because you're just too shy?
Well,
is that what this is
standard,
for?
It's a standard baseline. There's probably like 100 questions out there that are just standard.
This sounds like a dating answering. Game. Like you're getting to know the other person for
well,
a date.
No, you get to you don't follow strangers. It's only people that you connect with on here.
Do you have any idea how many strangers I know?
That makes
through
me
Wii
less
U.
interested.
Like really? I have so many Miis on there that I have no idea who they are that they've just joined, maybe through people. Some of them are just a lot of ladies I don't know, and I could chat them up and be like, "Hey, girl, you a city boy or a country
how do you
dude?"
Feel about banana pudding.
Now, yeah. What's your favorite bread?
Well, the other thing is you can pose pictures with your friends and do all this other fun stuff. And the idea is that if you tie it to your Nintendo account and you go play on your Wii U or wherever where you have your Mii,
hey, I'm
you
playing Mario it, Kart 10.
Yeah, you could play.
That scared me, sir.
You could be playing that in the game, and supposedly how well you do in the game could give you points for doing stuff in here. And you could play more mini games, unlock more things, like and have more things to do. So at first, it is pretty limiting.
Fuck! I just got hit by a blue shell.
That is a really scary picture. This sounds like it would take a lot of time. Like, I don't have all day, man.
Now, Brandon, have you heard the bread question? Because they do ask the bread question.
I think once or twice. Like, what's your favorite bread? And it's like rye. It's like always rye.
No, not for me. They also ask, what's your favorite bird?
No, they don't.
I swear to God,
they
do.
What did you answer? Yeah.
They didn't ask me that. I got to see someone else respond to that.
What was their answer? I want to know someone's favorite. That's all I'm going to... Can I ask that question?
Oh, crap. What was it? It was...
Are these random questions, or can you ask whatever you want?
They are random questions,
Oh,
yeah.
So I can't ask only what is your favorite bird?
Well, if you keep answering, you'll eventually get it.
All right. Well, mine's Belted Kingfisher. You know right now. We can do this face-to-face. You don't need to spend 20 minutes on
an
app.
It's a very pointless app. Many aspects of it are highly addictive, but, of course, it's not something which you have to spend money for unless you really, really, really want to.
Which, if you did, I wouldn't understand.
Crap, you know, actually...
Brandon, mine is crows.
I really... Of course
ravens.
It is. Of course,
I like corvids.
I actually really like shoebills now, too. I can't decide.
But the best part about it, the thing that's actually
legal,
taking
man.
The internet by storm is that it has a photo poser that allows you to sample pictures from your own library
and
mix Miis into it and like pose them and change them around, and it's a lot of fun. So you're probably
you showed us a really
these.
Bizarre picture earlier. Did you feed it a picture to get that, or was
I
that
did.
Something that was okay?
Wait, yeah. So you can upload like pictures.
Yeah, you can upload your own pictures, and also
when is
now,
your dick pics going to start
created
popping up?
That
probably already.
Now things can be images and text and so on can be reported, but ultimately there's no filter on this.
So it's like Snapchat for Miis.
It's a fully uncensored thing that Nintendo is actually benefiting from how uncensored it is. I haven't seen any pornography, but if you want to drop some F-bombs, you totally can, and it'll read them aloud to you. It doesn't care.
Huh. Huh.
Yeah, like, okay. I've already talked to people, and I won't name who, but it's just like, what are your favorite things? And it's like...
Dicks.
Fapping and boobies. Like, all right.
These are people you know in real life, so you're like, wow, this is weird. It's like,
I wouldn't have answered that, but, you know, whatever.
This is my boss. My boss said that.
What's your favorite food? Your mother. It's like, okay. Okay, son, I'll see you later.
It says, like, describe what you would imagine be a perfect first kiss. And I'm the only one who answered it honestly, apparently. Everyone else has got the cartoonish.
Poop on the mouth. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
it's like ridiculous.
Squid ink. What does that even mean?
Cheetos and wine.
Yeah, that's my perfect kiss right there. We could talk about this
open
for an hour.
Face sandwich.
What's your favorite kiss?
That's been my last time, my time sink for the past 24 hours. Other than that, I did actually play Automatron, the first Fallout DLC for Fallout 4.
Is that any good?
It was. The main story was kind of anticlimactic, but the things it actually adds to the world are awesome. And if you've beaten the game already, it probably won't do anything for you, but I've been taking a very leisurely journey through the wasteland.
That's my problem, is I beat it, and I didn't like any of the endings, because I did all of them with various save states. And I was so disappointed, but the game is amazing, but I played it so much that the endings were so anticlimactic that I don't, just because there's new items and you can build robots, I don't, that doesn't draw me into playing the game again.
Right.
I don't want to go around the world again and do repeat missions after repeat missions to get some parts to build a robot, and then the robot travels with me to do nothing because I've beaten the game and just do random missions save.
She can travel with you to do the plot of the plot of Automatron, which involves a new character called the Mechanist.
That's true. There's a story.
But what they've added, if you're not familiar with it, is they've added the ability to build robots. There are swarms of robots that, like ghouls or anything else, will attack you in the wasteland. You can robots. You know how you can, you know, if you kill a person, you can take their clothes. Well, if you kill a robot, you can take their modifications.
So you can, like, customize your own.
Right, but you don't have access to those modifications unless you discover them out in the wild.
Okay.
And they've added a lot of new modifications. You can create some really bizarre things. Like, it's the sort of robots that Wastelanders would actually cobble together. They look, like, freaky. I mean, like, it gets everything.
Like, a lacrosse arm and a beanbag head.
Right, exactly.
That's all let's face it, that's all you're finding after the apocalypse.
It ranges from a junk bot to something covered in chrome skulls.
That's pretty cool.
And there's a new sect of raiders, actually, called the Rust Devils, that deal exclusively in modding their own robots or taking robots' bodies and molding that into heavy armor.
Are there new factions, then?
It's a new faction. Well, there's two new factions. There's the robots themselves, and there's the new kinds of raiders.
Is there, like, a new area, or they just added into the existing world?
They're at locations added into the existing world. Now, what was funny is that there were locations that were on the map that I never went to that were plot locations, so I don't know how much they changed them, because even though I'd covered a ton of the map, miraculously, I hadn't touched any of these places. And I think there might be, in some cases, like, an abandoned building that was unremarkable that all of a sudden is given this new dressing, and you'll discover it and be like, wow, why did I never find this before? Probably because it wasn't there. I don't know that.
It'd be cool if they added a new, like, robot ending, whatever that may be. Like, you become a robot. That would be great.
You become a robot.
Become a robot.
You can customize the robots, right? You can build your own robot to follow you, and there's a robot character that you encounter. But you also have robot companions, Curie and Cogsworth, and you can modify them. They don't have to be Mr. Handy Style robots anymore.
Oh, nice.
That's really cool, actually. I like that.
Yeah, it's like you want an Assaultron with like the laser eye and all that? You got it, man. You want a sentry bot to follow you around? No problem.
I heard
be talking like Cogsworth.
I heard there were several add-ons, and that I was under the impression that a bunch of things were happening at the same time besides Automatron, like Far Harbor.
Yeah,
I thought that was coming out too, but not yet.
No, it is.
Is it out? Okay,
it's not out. It's not out yet. But I'm not sure it's the next one. But there's Far Harbor, which is one you're going to want to play because it's
Wasteland Workshop is next, I think.
Wasteland Workshop is probably it. Far Harbor is the biggest DLC Bethesda's ever created. It's a whole new place. It's out in Maine.
They said it's the biggest thing they've created as an expansion.
It's not just a mission. It's like a whole land with submissions and places to discover and everything.
Yeah, that's the thing that's going to draw me back into the game. They said there's brand new factions, brand new missions. There might even be new endings they haven't hit on, but that means I have to start game over because I've beaten it.
And the other one that you mentioned allows you to trap animals.
And people, apparently. And have them fight to the death in cage matches.
Yeah, so you could build...
I don't know why that would be fun watching them, but I guess it is.
Dude, this seems to be the thing, is just add Pokemon into it.
Sounds like is they're adding things that I saw in the mod community, especially for like Skyrim. Like I've seen like fortresses that people built in Skyrim where it's like, okay, I'm going to spawn animals and stuff and make them fight. And then I even saw a mod mod. Someone made a building in Fallout 4. This is on Reddit or something, but someone made a little fighting arena. It looked like something out of, like, Master Blaster would build it or something, and they just, all right, we're going to throw in this guy, and we're going to throw in, like, 10 Death Claws. Guess what? The 10 Death Claws win. You know, it was madness. And he had, like, turrets all over the place so that if anything tried to actually get out, it would just kill it. So it's just, like, they're probably, like, looking at all the mods and saying, let's just make that DLC. So on one hand, that's really cool.
It would hold my attention more than an hour. But I guess it could. I don't know what else is in there.
Automatron and that as well, they're status quo affecting things that I think are great, but are even better if you're actively playing the game if you haven't beaten it yet.
And Far Harbor, I was going to say, adds actually new items and levels to those items. So you get stronger gear. But my problem with that is that it's a Valentine, like, you have to get, you know, the Detective Valentine to start this whole quest that goes to another area, I believe.
Yeah.
But what if you've done something and pissed him off, or there's a bug where he's stuck, because I've seen that. Like, if he starts shooting at you, you can't ever talk to him. You have to start a new game.
I don't know.
You're like, I have no idea. Yeah. So, basically, maybe I'm going to have to start a new game.
Maybe this DLC would have a patch that would fix that.
Like, I just can't start somewhere. I wish there's an option. Would you like to start right before the ending of the game? Yes, please. I can't start over, ever.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I could. It's just there's no time in the world for me right now to do that.
So, yeah, I guess short version, I enjoyed it. The story itself was kind of anticlimactic, but it was a fun adventure.
Like 10, I think it's like $10.
And the stuff that you've earned or that it adds into it is great. So, yeah, it's fun. Now, Brandon, there are some old shows that are getting a new life. It's surprising. It's weird. What are you cracking open?
I'm taking some allergy medication because I have really bad allergies.
What's the name of that medicine?
Woodford Reserve. Well, it's a depressant, and what people think is, oh, it makes you like sad. No, a depressant depresses the nerves, and my nose is just awful right now. I'm sorry. So anyway, here's something you didn't know that's interesting about Woodford Reserve. And this is why I'm drinking it. Oh, God, that burns. I think I have an ulcer. They actually filter their whiskey through a filter that's made out of dead birds. Not just dead birds. No, I'm serious.
What?
Bones. Because, like, they do, like, when they grind sugar, they use animal bones, which is weird, which is why sugar's not vegan. They use bones only specifically from seagulls to filter their whiskey. And that's why I'm drinking seagull whiskey.
What?
Can I see the bottle?
Yeah. I want to see.
No, I made guys. I made do it some up. Fact no, checking. I made it up. I made it up. Anyway,
I just wanted to drink you.
Some. Daddy needed some. This is so.
I can smell it from over here, man.
It's like a paint stripper or something. Anyway, what are we talking about? Holy shit! If you're not a nerd or you're not paying attention to the world, FLCL is coming back.
Yeah, Fooly Cooly,
made by. Well, actually, in production with Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Specifically, I think Toonami. They're making two new seasons, 6 episodes each. The original writer and creator of FLCL is going to be involved. I don't know how much. He's been busy working on the Evangelion movie reboots forever, which are actually really good compared to the series if you ever go back and watch it. But my favorite part is confirmed, the Pillows are doing the music again.
That's awesome.
Which is friggin' amazing. There's no confirmation if Nauta or Conti are going to be back because basically the main character right now is Haruko, who comes back as a school teacher.
How would you pitch FLCL to someone who's never seen it before?
The problem is
random insanity that you could take or leave.
The problem is it came out like 2000 or 2001, and I don't know if that kind of humor is relevant anymore because it's been mimicked and copied so much. I don't know if they can bring that back.
Or what was your pitch?
Oh, mine was random insanity that you could either take or leave. Oh,
okay.
I didn't like it.
I don't like FLCL either.
It was just weird.
Oh my god.
For no reason. Very cohesive.
It's beautiful animation.
Yeah, it's pretty, but
but I couldn't relate to any of the characters of the plot, and I think there's a lot of looking back on it, I think
this makes me sad.
Maybe I wasn't young enough when I saw it the first time because it is about the transition from being a teenager into being an adult, and I was very much past that when I saw it. It is gorgeous animation, though. It's Gainax's studio, right?
Studio IG and Gainax are working together on it.
I mean, they're great. The stuff they make is
the
amazing.
Original character designers working on it too. Well, here's the thing: you're not alone in this.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who, even people who love the show, who are really excited. They go, "There's actually no point in making it. Like, it was a self-contained story. It finished.
Right,
like, there's no reason to make a sequel except just for the fans. Like, there's no point. It's going to be great, probably, and
well,
we'll
actually,
watch
I was
it,
kind of, I was excited
like a cash
about
grab
it.
To me.
It's not going to continue the original story. It's completely different. So it's not like
I thought to myself, man, FLCL always frustrated me. Maybe this would fix it.
Which is, yeah, no, they're not going to, which is weird because you like Twin Peaks, and the only reason I'm mentioning that is because they both kind of do weird things where they never explain certain things, and but that part frustrated you with FLCL.
Yeah, well, FLCL is to a far greater degree than Twin Peaks, like exponentially. And maybe that's simply because there's more episodes of Twin Peaks.
There's about 100 more than FLCL, yes.
Yeah, so I don't know. But there's that. But that's not it. So I knew about the FLCL, but I didn't know about this other thing that you mententioned.
What, Voltron?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, we all know Voltron is coming back.
I didn't know.
Oh,
that.
You didn't?
I had no idea.
Oh, have you not seen the trailer or the video?
No, I've seen nothing.
It looks beautiful because DreamWorks is doing it, animating the entire series.
Well, that's not necessarily a seal of quality. I need only point to the Madagascar films.
Okay, well, the frame rate will be good. No, I saw, okay, there's a trailer out there where you can watch them forming Voltron. They just, like, showed a teaser, and it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it does look pretty cool, actually.
It's a reimagining or reboot, whatever you want to call it. So they do have the original characters. They're still going to have the mentally retarded one, Pidge. Is that PC to say? I don't know.
I think you said it as PC as conceivably possible.
I'm Pidge!
Or perhaps challenged. But,
yeah.
Okay.
So, carry on. Well, they have a really good cast of voice actors, too. But the funny thing is, I forget his name. I have it written down, guys. I have it. Okay. I think it's Rhys Darby from Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is doing the...
We're werewolves, not swearwolves.
Werewolves, not swearwolves. Don't call me Ginger Balls. But he's doing one of the main, not one of the main five Earth kids, but the grandfather looking guy who takes care of the facility where the princess and Voltron are.
That's cool. So,
yeah. That's pretty much all I got. And it's not going to come out till really, really late 2016.
Okay. But this year.
Oh, no, it's coming this year. FLCL, if you don't care about that, don't worry about that. That's coming out like 2017, 2018.
I'm excited. What I love with the FLCL thing, I love that Adult Swim is ponying up for stuff like this. Like, Space Dandy is one of my favorite animes ever. And, I mean, it's very recent, but they knocked it out of the park, and that tandem release they did between the US and Japan was brilliant.
Wasn't that Studio IG too? Or was that, Bones? I can't remember. Anyway.
Bones. It's the Cowboy Bebop guys.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So, I mean, and that was fantastic. So I'm enthused at the possibilities here. And then, of course, Samurai Jack is coming back.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I'm really excited about that.
Maybe if Samurai Jack resolves, we can finally get a conclusion to Symbionic Titan.
Oh, I think
it's a good time. It's a good time right now.
I think that basically Netflix is jumping on all these reimaginings, reboots, and new shows because, well, they're killing it. And
Wait, where does Netflix factor into this?
It's a Netflix show.
What is?
Voltron. Sorry, did I not mention that?
No.
It's Netflix and DreamWorks cooperating together to make the show.
Now, I haven't known of DreamWorks to have done a television series since Father of the Pride.
Well, they're... Is that like Father of the Bride?
It's that amazing.
I've never even heard of that.
It's a Siegfried and Roy CGI animated series with John Goodman as a white lion dad.
Ooh, John Goodman.
It's pretty good, actually. It starts off a little rough, but the episode with 7-Eleven is. It's basically
talking gibberish.
Yeah, you're just saying a bunch of shit.
I feel like you drank this whole thing instead of Brandon.
Okay, look this up. Maybe we can find a video to link to on this episode's page. There's an episode of Father of the Pride where Siegfried and Roy go to 7-Eleven, and I haven't seen it in years, but I remember it being incredible.
They would never go to a 7-Eleven.
Well, they didn't even know what it was. They were like, it was mystical to them. So they walk in, and they're like, whoa, and they're all German and weird, and, you know.
Are they German?
Austrian?
I don't know. That's racist.
They speak the same language.
Racist. As a side note,
they're Polish. I don't know.
I saw a new Voltron like action figure.
Uh-huh.
One that breaks down into all the lines and then reconfigures. That they're releasing. It's available for pre-order now. It's $400.
Is it life size?
It's supposed to be way better than the old toys like back from the '80s. It can actually move around properly.
Well, the old toys were die-cast metal, though, and plastic.
No, what?
Yeah, I have them.
Oh,
their feet and legs are solid metal.
Yeah, their legs were metal. Okay, I remember that.
I still have the original Voltron somewhere. Unless I burnt it, I don't know.
You should find that.
It's probably.
I think you should plop down $400 on this new one.
How big is it? Do you know, like, is it 12? Just a 12-inch figure.
See.
What could possibly justify 400?
16 inches tall.
Oh, that will justify 400.
Because that's like an interactive statue right there.
If I keep drinking that price looks better and better.
Each lion is hyper articulated. It can pose in multiple ways.
Each lion.
Hyper.
Yeah, they've got Voltron like fully assembled, like kneeling, just to show how versatile the
thing I don't like is that when it's a reimagining, they could have changed anything, and they're basically going to keep the same subplot or plot in general, which means one of the main characters, I think Lance, I forget, is instantly going to betray them, and then the princess takes over, because that's what happens in the original Voltron that I remember.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, I'm sorry. So
for an old show.
And why did it have to be lions? Lines have been done. It's 2016. They could be computers that form together.
Computers.
They're already computers.
They could be iPhones that connect. They could be birds. They don't have to be lions.
So they could be a bunch of just black,
the Silverhawks
black
before,
rectangles.
Right?
Bunch of text messages forming one giant text message. Fighting evil in the universe.
Oh.
Emoji force!
It's a good idea for a show.
Yeah.
Okay. Edit that out so we can patent it.
Yeah, there's no edits in the show anymore, Brandon.
Damn it! I'm never going to learn.
No. You and Boar have been playing a game recently called Paragon?
Nope.
No,
yeah, we have. I'm kidding.
What is it?
It's a multiplayer online battle arena type game. I actually, honestly, have not played that many MOBAs in my life. Does Warcraft 3 count? I don't know. Probably not.
If you have the right mods, sure.
It's on, yeah. But.
No, but that's where Dota originated, was Warcraft 3.
Yeah. It's a team-based battle arena game where you basically, each side has a bunch of bases. You try to either destroy them and get to their main base and destroy it and win. That's the premise of the game. So this game, Paragon, which is amazingly beautiful and very pretty, doesn't come out for like 6 more months, but if you pay a small fee, you can play the beta now.
Yeah, they've got like a founder
which
pack
goes
so you
towards
can purchase right now.
Helping develop the game, because
a PC thing, I assume.
PC and PS4.
Oh,
which, yeah. Interestingly enough, Brandon hooked me up with, when you buy a founder's pack,
you get a second account
to give to somebody else, and he gave me his bonus founder pack.
Because everybody gives you games.
Yeah.
Right, because that's a thing.
Yeah.
Everybody
hey,
just,
you asked first.
I did.
That's all.
I did. Because I've been interested in it. I've really wanted to play it. But what I was learning is that you gave me a PS4 code for it, and I started playing it on the PS4, and I was like, it hooks up to your Epic account. And I was wondering, I've got an Epic account on my computer. I opened up the computer and I can play on computer or PS4. And it's the same exact like character progression and everything.
Yeah. It keeps you can play. In fact, I play
pretty
verse.
Slick.
I play cross play. I'm fighting people who are playing on PC when I'm on my PS4.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing about that in the graphics of this game.
Like, I don't care about the crossover aspect as much as I care about
it,
my
yeah.
character is just going, like, my characters and everything that I've built up and unlocked and everything is going between the two consoles, which is amazing compared to, like, even a game like Diablo 3, which it has a really great PS4 port, but why aren't they linked? Like,
nobody
there's
knows.
No reason for them
nobody
to not
knows.
Be linked.
They really should be.
Have my characters transfer over.
It would be, if it was linked, I started playing it on a whim over at a friend's house, and I would still be playing it if that was an option. It's not an option.
So,
yeah. I mean, I get that the controls are different and maybe they've got some different difficulties and shit, but who cares?
Yeah, there's like 10 to 12 characters right now. And they're going to constantly release it. When this game comes out, by the way, it's completely free. I only paid because it's like the beta and it's helping to develop the game. The game is completely free when it comes out.
There are so many MOBAs in the world. What is special about this one aside from that great connectivity?
Probably nothing. It's pretty and crossplay.
No,
I'm serious. Because
no, there's a lot of difference because it's an over-the-shoulder third-person view. That's like one of the biggest things about it.
Oh, is that like I said, I haven't played many MOBAs. Is that like a revolutionary thing?
Most of the rest of them are like isometric, like
top-down kind of.
Top-down, yeah. And you can usually completely disconnected from your character. Like the camera will follow them, but you can also disconnect your camera and look around like at what your teammates are doing and stuff like that.
Well, what's funny is that I actually, if I'm remembering everything correctly, I believe that the generation of MOBAs that were being shown off by and large at last year's E3 were all third person over the shoulders.
Yeah.
It's an emerging thing.
Smite is kind of like this.
I haven't played it yet.
This is like from the last E3 was all like, for the first time ever,
MOBA is third person.
Sandbox, open world. And it's like other
no, it
games
seems like
that.
Everybody's putting out a MOBA these days, and it's a little bit ridiculous.
It's,
well, because Dota got super popular.
Battleborn,
Battlecry.
Okay, but here's the problem, is that they're trying to get that in-app purchase money, but on consoles and PC. So
right.
The game is free, And the whole game, your character progression is basically you start at level
zero.
They
want you to buy heroes.
Well, no, the heroes, not they said, Paragon. Are being released free, but to make your character have better stats in the game, because there's a lot of strategy, you collect cards. And there are rare ones and common ones, and you select your deck at the beginning, and when your character levels up, you can add more cards, which add, like, different abilities and
which
things.
Which I found kind of confusing.
You get used to it real
when
fast.
When I started building
there's no
my
explanation.
Deck, after they, like, let you customize decks, I put together, like, I was like, oh, this seems like it'll be a good thing. But then, like, this cool item that I got could only take, like, one upgrade card that I had. And then I got another item that was like that,
you gotta
too.
Get more cards.
Apparently, I just need a lot more cards.
Well, they claim that you don't ever have to spend money because you can earn decks which, like, have rare cards and stuff with in-game
currency.
They
did seem to give you a decent amount of them.
Yeah, you get a ton, and you unlock them when you level characters, or when you level, you have a player level and, like, your actual character, so you can level a bunch of characters. But the other thing is that it takes forever to earn in-game currency. So a card pack is, like, 10,500 currency. I'll play a game for 45 minutes and it's like 700 currency.
But as you're leveling up, they give you free ones too.
Yeah, but it's actually really hard to it takes a lot of level. So basically, if I'm playing 10 hours of a game to get one card pack, well, that may or may not get anything good for the character I'm using.
But if you're playing it for free, they're banking on the microtransactions.
But it's completely free, and I played this game for days. And the another great thing that you might like, Cap, is that every single character is different. You can't have two of the same character in the map. So if you're playing your favorite character, it makes sure that when you join a team, all the other four players are completely different. And then when you're versing another team, all five of their characters can't be any of the same you're doing.
That's neat.
And it matches everyone. I've never had to wait more than a minute.
I didn't really pay much attention to that.
I never had to wait more than a minute to join a game. Huh. And everyone's different, so everyone has different abilities. Like mine, I like to play Muriel. Like, she looks like a robotic angel. I don't know what she is. But I have an ability when I level up in the stage where I can just fly to anyone in trouble instantly. And I'm, like, the only one that can do that. And instantly, like, give them shields and health.
Epic.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're also putting out a new version of Unreal Tournament that's going to be free.
It is the Unreal Engine. So yeah. There you go.
It's Unreal Engine 4.
It is really fun, but like to keep progressing your characters, it takes a lot of time. And you can buy in-game currency.
Now, as I was telling Brandon, there's also another one called Orcs Must Die Unchained that just went into open beta.
Go on.
And it's another third person, like over the shoulder, more action oriented MOBA. Ever. Yeah.
Is it comedy?
It's actually different. You get to manage your minions instead of it just being like the same minion waves. You get cards to be able to upgrade your minions to different kinds of minions.
Is like, this like a card-based thing where you earn cards?
They can be orcs. They can be different kinds of humans. They can be bears. They can. You get boss cards later on.
Oh, cool. Still have to collect cards, though, right?
Yeah, there is some card collecting that happens in that. But you also get trap cards, so you can, instead of just relying on your towers, you can actually set up your own towers with trap cards. Hmm. So you can specialize in certain kinds of traps, like slowing down the waves or hitting them harder. There's like stuff that spits acid out of the walls.
Do you have a team, or is it just like you versus someone else?
Yeah, it's team based.
Okay,
so cool. There's like four against like another four, and it's really cool. I like it way more than Paragon as the actual fun level goes.
They're both in beta though, right?
Yeah, they're both in beta.
So like they won't, their full versions aren't done yet, or not released for months.
Right. I definitely recommend checking out Orcs Must Die Unchained if you're a MOBA fan, which I've been trying to tell Brandon that he should check it out so we could have a cool discussion with it.
If I wasn't working the worst possible shifts for the past week, I would have totally played it.
Well, we'll have links to where you can check either of those things out, maybe some trailers or something to give you sort of a visual idea of what they're all about on this episode's page. Quick note, if you haven't checked out last week's episode, you definitely should.
Holy crap, you should.
We tried something very different, very experimental, and things got highly unusual.
Doug's trying something very experimental.
Yeah, how's that going? You're sipping Brandon's medicine there.
Seagull whiskey.
That's not that. And see, he tricked me because that's nail polish.
Would you like to try some nail polish?
I'm actually good.
That's don't do it.
I got you, April Fools. How's that? It burns though, right?
It's still burning.
Yeah.
It's,
okay, I feel like
it's burning the allergens out of your lungs.
You have detoxed my entire esophagus down into my stomach. I have no stomach bacteria whatever it is.
I inhaled it.
Strong alcohol is actually very antibacterial.
It's not that strong.
This is over 90 proof.
It's over 9,000. Well, the reason I like Woodbridge is because it burns coming out too, so have fun with that.
A little tip there.
Is that because of the seagulls?
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah.
Okay.
45% alcohol volume. And it's
only 90 proof. Come on.
Yeah. Only 90.
You're used to 151, man. Come on.
Now, here's a good opportunity for some shout-outs to our fans. We got some awesome fans. You, dear listeners, if you're new, if you're old, you're awesome. That's not the end of the shout-out. No, there's lots more where that came from.
Y'all is cool. End of shout-out.
We have a Patreon at patreon.com/nerdyshow, and we rely exclusively on your funds to exist, the entire network, not just this show. And if you back us, well, we've got all kinds of perks, including last episode where we – I'll just go ahead and share with you the premise. We scanned the multiverse for alternate reality podcasts, and what we found was – intense.
Both amazing and frightening.
Yes, in, to say the least. However, there was a lot more content when we were doing that than we were able to release. So you'll find uncut versions of a lot of those alternate reality shows on our Patreon. If you back us at $5 or more, I have so much content.
Only snippets made it into that episode. There was a lot more to a lot of those shows.
It's collectively, I think it's about 2 hours of bonus content.
And $5 is way cheaper than the price to play the beta of Paragon. So, which I think is $30. So sucker a friend into buying that and giving you an account.
2 hours of alternate reality content.
Yeah, as well as some behind the scenes stuff from that show, including outtakes. It's a lot of stuff, and so much so that I'm staggering release. There's gonna be at least one thing a day until we're out of content.
Thing a day.
So yeah, if you're a current Patreon backer, enjoy. And if you're not, there's a lot of reasons.
There's
to sign
even
up.
Ringtones in there.
I was just about to ask. It's like I'm pretty sure you said there was a ringtone somewhere.
The ringtones
in
are in there.
Yeah, I don't even think I've heard these.
Well, we made some ringtones out of the theme song to a program called Underground Radio. Maybe you've heard of it.
Sorry, no.
So yeah, we made some ringtones out of that.
Probably hasn't heard of it.
Which is completely legal, I might add, because it's from another reality, so we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, there's no copyright on that one.
I'd like to see them sue us for something from another dimension.
Yeah, good luck, yeah. Right? But if you back us at $10 or more, we will read a shout out from you every single month. Whatever you want us to say, we will say it. And we have a few today. But before we get to that, we also read some other content. We are on iTunes. And if you rate and review us on iTunes, we will read your reviews. If you can do this, it would be awesome. If you dig the show, if you dig any of the programming on the network, just go on iTunes. Unfortunately, we discovered recently that these days when you sign up for iTunes, you have to insert your credit card info, and we know it's been a big nuisance to everybody. So for those of you who have taken that plunge, thank you very much. We very much appreciate it. So
if you're living off the grid, we're sorry.
Yeah. Ultimately, we're the ones who are sorry because they ain't going to do it, and I respect that decision.
I need to buy more whiskey, guys.
But for those of you who have reviews, we'll read the reviews on the show, and we actually have a contest going on right now for anybody in the U.S. If you've submitted a review on any of our iTunes feeds for anything on the Nerdy Show Network, go to nerdyshow.com/bento giveaway, and we're giving away a box of comic books from Comic Bento. I'm reaching for it.
I love how you're trying to stay attached to the microphone and reach for it at the same time.
Yeah, we got boxes of comic books, not necessarily the comics seen here. We have four of them to give away. We only have two entries so far. So far, those are auto wins. If you submitted to us, or if you'd like to, just go to nerdyshow.com/bento giveaway, and we'll send you some comic books.
And how many are we giving away?
Four.
Those are pretty damn good odds.
They're by weight, the boxes. I think there's 10 pounds of comics each. Well, 40 pounds.
Actually, it's by price. There's at least $50 worth of comic books in these boxes.
Individually. It's $50 for one, another $50, another $50.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like, that's pretty,
guys,
pretty
I,
good.
I go by weight, not price.
So
we're going to read at least 2 liters worth of comics in there.
We're going to read an iTunes review, and then we're going to go into our shout-outs from Patreon. But they're interrelated, which is why I kind of confusingly structured the segment this way. Our iTunes review comes from the Netherlands. We found out recently that the rating and reviewing on iTunes is not universal. So if you review us on a certain country's store, we won't see it. So if you review it in a store that's not the United States, just let us know. We'll seek it out. We'll find it and we'll read it here. So this comes from the Netherlands, and Kutsushita, Brandon, if you please.
Oh, that's, I'm up.
You're up.
God, you know how much I don't like limericks.
He wrote a poem called Nerd Up Your Ear Holes as his review.
Oh, I'm going to screw this up so bad. I'm sorry. Okay. Nerd Up Your Ear Holes by Kutsushita. These peeps bring awesome every week, shining their light on much nerdery, if not all. No other oozes as much geek. Let them in your ear holes, and you'll have a ball. Go ahead and hear them speak. Know that their network is vast like a sound mall. Anyhow, this review is past its peak. I just really think you'd love them, wear a shawl. That's what it says.
What?
Thank you.
It does.
It rhymes.
Wear a shawl.
Wear a shawl. He didn't have a rhyming dictionary.
He admitted it was past its peak, and here we go. So that's the end.
Wear a shawl.
No, well, I like it.
It was it's cold honest. Today.
Wearing a shawl is a bad idea in Florida.
It was cold today.
Where we're based.
Well, it was 70.
He's in the Netherlands, and he's speaking exclusively to other people from the Netherlands, so it's right. Good advice. It's just
that
practical
is, good
is it
advice.
Cold there?
Yeah.
I would imagine
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I imagine so.
It's not even Iceland.
Now, however, this is tethered to a negative shout-out from Kutsushita. because when he sent that to iTunes...
Yes, I love negative shout-outs.
His review was nothing but a wall of text.
What did you mean?
As in, like, all those line breaks that helped you read that... gone. So his negative shout out, he said they quote mangled by disrespecting my liberal use of the enter key, and it now looks like a complete train wreck. So here is the negative shout out from Kutsushita. Fuck iTunes, fuck it sideways.
Oh, I thought it was negative for us. Okay, good. Okay.
Whoever the twisted shit is that decided to have the enter key work as expected when writing a review, to have iTunes remember you used enter perfectly when editing the review, but then not give a flying fuck about the notion of this integral part of writing a goddamn review once it's processed and visible to the general public, know that I will find you. I will find where you live, break in while you sleep, and I will put my semen in your mouthwash. No one ruins my poems but me. All right. Time to listen to Weird Al's first world problems. He understands my pain. And then he goes on to say, this is not my words. This is his. The views of the Nerdy Show listener do not reflect the views of the Nerdy Show Network or its affiliates. So please rate and review them on iTunes.
Good, because there's going to be a warrant out for his semen threat now.
And of course, do be warned when you review.
Well, he'd have to be extra.
There are no line breaks.
Did he actually send that to iTunes or just to us?
No, for us to say two of them.
It's I thought he sent another review going, "Dear iTunes, I'm putting semen in your mouthwash when I find you, whoever you are."
Now, just so Brandon knows, a while back I said that if people wanted to do negative shout-outs instead of our regular shout-outs that we allow them to.
To other people.
We would go ahead and diss people on the air or whatever they want.
That's a company.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, companies are people now. I forgot.
People,
yeah, they're people. They won that.
Well, in this country anyway.
Yeah. I think that was, our second one?
Second or third?
Did we have what was the second one?
I don't remember.
Trying to remember, but I know it existed. I know it was there. I know it was the thing. I know it happened. Okay. I can't remember. Oh, wait, no. No, that was the first one to the guy's wife.
Yeah.
Ex-wife.
Yeah.
I don't remember. It's not coming to me, but okay. I have unless it's pop culture, yeah, I mean, it's really
more.
In one ear, out the other.
We'll take them. Well,
we do have another shout out. And Bor, I
mentioned. Positive one?
It's not. It's indirect.
Okay, sure.
I did.
Is it directed at me?
No.
Okay. I don't know why you're singling me out.
The reason I said your name was I meant to print this out to hand to you.
Oh.
So that's why you're not reading review today. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I have it in front of me though, so I'm going to read it.
If you post it on Slack, I can just see it.
Okay. Let's go to Doug.
Okay.
Doug has some iTunes reviews for Ghostbusters Resurrection.
Hey, all right.
I thought it was special. He's got
Ghostbusters
one?
Resurrection, our Ghostbusters role playing podcast. Currently, the third season is in production. We're recording and,
it's coming soon.
Yeah, we don't have a date, but when we do, you'll know.
Hilarious. 5 stars by Proton64T.
I feel like you wrote that.
No.
Hilarious.
This podcast matches all of the intrigue of a radio play with the goofball antics of sitting around a table with friends and rolling dice. A must listen for any ghost head. Nice. This next one is called GBR, Consistently Great. 5 stars by Herf. I'm a fan of role-playing podcasts and Ghostbusters, and Ghostbusters Resurrection is a perfect melding of both. The team has an incredible group of dynamic, and Doug is an amazing game master. I look forward to many more seasons. Awesome. Thank you very much. And 1 out of 1 listeners found that helpful, so I agree.
Yeah, remember, if you like a review, upvote it.
I'm going to upvote that one, because he says I'm an amazing game master. So
don't let it go to your head, though.
it's already gone to my head. It's like...
Your ghost head.
My ghost head, yeah.
Is that what people are called when they like Ghostbusters? Are called ghost heads?
That's like a self-appointed fan term.
Do Do they not know what Ghost Head is? Because I saw that in the first movie.
That might have been where it comes from.
Yeah, Ghost. Like, he got some Ghost Head in that movie. They don't show it, but you know.
All right, I've got it now, thanks to the miracle of technology.
Yes.
Scott John Harrison is who this shout-out is from. A shout-out to Simply Syndicated, a British podcasting network, which is every bit as nerdy as Nerdy Show and has fallen on hard times being able to pay their bills for their hosting. They have been running for nearly a decade, starting out a movie podcast called Movies You Should See and a Star Trek podcast, Make It So. Both currently on hiatus, but their current shows are great, too. They have great technology and movie news podcast, Tech It or Leave It.
Good.
And
they're good with naming here.
I like that.
And Simply Syndicated Movie News, a weekly trivia show called Atomic Trivia War 9000.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Video game podcast, World One, Stage One, and a lot of shows about specific television shows and movie series. Doctor Who, James Bond, Stargate, Quantum Leap, X-Files, and Babylon 5.
So yeah,
that's a lot.
That was
stuff.
A lot of words, Scott John Harrison.
but no, I mean that's Simply Syndicated. If you're in the mood for additional nerd podcasts, check out Simply Syndicated. Sounds like they probably have some kind of fundraiser going on, and they could use the help. So, brothers in arms, so to speak, for this podcasting game. Now, I have one more shout-out. This one was unsolicited. Total Fox, a.k.a. Guinero Loki from Twitter, sent all of us, really, the craziest thing at Nerdy Show on Twitter. He posted a video where he, quote, brought my Call of Cthulhu experience to a whole new level. The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program is a role-playing RPG radio drama that we did last year. It's one of my favorite things we've ever done. You can find it at nerdyshow.com/Cthulhu. And he recorded the show to what looks like 1970s-era Sony reel-to-reel tape recorder. So like the basement in Evil Dead, that kind of tape recorder. We'll link to this on this episode's page. Video, he presses play, and I'll be goddamned.
He turns the dial, really. Yeah. Like, he turns the whole dial, like, click, and it starts up. Like,
wait, what? He recreated the entire...
He somehow got the audio of, like, of that whole episode, and actually got it onto a reel-to-reel, like,
played it. Literally.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he recorded our show to magnetic tape.
Yeah.
That's going to last at least 10
in
years.
In old school format.
I wonder if that's the first time that Nerdy Show has ever been on a
Contact
magnetic medium.
Guinness. See if that's happened before.
Well, I mean, aren't computers magnetic?
Probably.
How about an analog magnetic medium?
There you go.
Magnet.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done... I mean, I've done a lot of weird stuff with the show, but I don't think I've ever recorded anything to cassette yet.
Or 8-track.
There's this Mark with a C used to do a show on the network called The Real Congregation, which was a music nerd show, not about nerd music, but being a nerd about music. Amazing show. It's all archived on Nerdy Show. You should check it out. But when he had an off week, I'd step in and do a show called The Fake Congregation. And I've been wanting to do more episodes. I don't know if it'd be, named that show, but I have a bunch of ideas that I wanted to do. And one thing I was going to do was I was going to record an entire episode using an antique like 1950s cassette recorder back when they were brand new that I found at a thrift store to record all the audio for the podcast. And then the only songs or audio I would play would be from likewise thrifted cassettes.
Wow.
And I haven't done it, but I really would like to.
Didn't we find a really good thrifted cassette once, or was it a CD? But with that band, they had a great song called Potpourri of Ass, I think.
Yes.
It's my favorite song ever. What? It's like, this is not a third world war, it's a potpourri of ass.
I still have that, yes.
I don't know who, we found a whole album. Just at a thrift store. It was amazing. It's amazing.
It was terrible, but in the best way possible.
Oh, no, it's so good. That we need to somehow get that out to the public.
Yeah. So I haven't done that, but I should, because I would love to, I'd love to fuck around with that. And seriously, Total Fox, you made my day. That's the coolest thing. Amazing.
That sounds
absolutely
like a
amazing.
Lot of effort.
It may have been as simple as a plug to a mic or something like that.
It was a lot of effort.
But it's definitely, I mean, thinking outside the box there, man. I've had a player and the tapes, I would request, like, give me a set. Make a set for me. But, of course, if I had the player.
Yeah, if you had the stuff, you could probably just make it.
But I don't. It's amazing, though. I'm in awe. It's amazing.
I always kind of wanted to listen to one of our shows in, like, a living room, like, over, like, stereo speakers to see if it, like, to see what that like. To hear voices of people that I know.
I don't see anything stopping you.
No, but except I don't own a home stereo.
Oh.
I just have a computer and a TV.
You should go to a thrift shop.
Yeah.
Just pick up a
Can
home
we start
stereo.
Releasing episodes on vinyls and sending them to people?
I mean, that's possible.
You play it on your record player?
That's expensive.
Hour-long
We're
episode.
In the middle of a vinyl shortage right now. Because
this is
people,
a podcast, not a hipster cast.
People are actually printing so much vinyl now that after, you know, all the vinyl factories closed, except for what remained, there's such a demand for vinyl records now that everything's completely backordered. That's why it took so long for the vinyl pressings of the last Protoman album to come out.
Well, it's because the vinyl tree is going extinct.
That's right.
In the rainforest.
Yeah. It's a pretty serious case.
It is.
Now, just a reminder, we still got that giveaway. So if you want to throw us an iTunes review, awesome. And if you just want to hop on there and give us a star rating, God, it's so easy and it means so much to us because our ratings are still quite low. So if you can just boost it up, that'll mean more people can discover Nerdy
Show.
Not
that we have an average low level of stars.
No, they're all.
But there's
the
a
number
low
of people.
Level of.
The majority of five stars.
If you've gotten this far into the episode to hear this, that means you obviously have been enjoying it. And if you haven't voted,
unless
why?
It's being played against their will.
If you're tied up in a basement, true. I'm sorry,
and
so you're dead.
If you do a review, nerdyshow.com/bento giveaway, let us send you some comic books already. Now, as far as fundraising goes, you know about us, you know about how you can fund us, and also you can go on Amazon, shop on Amazon Nerdy Show, or you can buy t-shirts like the one I'm wearing of Jamella from Dungeons & Doritos, but there's some other fine folks who need your help. We got two of our intimate friends here at Nerdy Show are running crowdfunding campaigns right now. One is Liberty. The Liberty podcast at Nerdy Show is also a comic book. Well, it's going to be a graphic novel, actually, and they're funding their graphic novel. So we'll link to this episode's page where you can go and help check that out. There's art on there. God, it's beautiful. Like, if you enjoy that show at all, or if you like sci-fi in general and comic books, you should definitely check it out. And the other thing is Camp Fangamer, our number one nerdy event of the year last year, is having a second year. And there's a Kickstarter on, but by the time you hear this episode, that Kickstarter will have ended prematurely on purpose. They were doing this weird situation where they were going to, you were basically buying tickets via Kickstarter, and it wasn't working out. People wanted more options. They didn't anticipate a certain amount of user response. So now they're closing down that Kickstarter, and by the time you hear this, they're going to be selling tickets on Fangamer's website. Last year
Kickstarter's a really weird way to sell tickets.
Yeah, it was very strange, and it didn't work.
They tried something new. It didn't work. Moving on.
But this show last year was all Earthbound themed, and it was an immersive alternate reality experience. It was incredible. I wrote an extensive story about what it was like to go there. And this year is shrouded in mystery. It appears that Camp Fangamer has been lawfully purchased and rebranded to better fit the Video Gamely brand. Video Gamely is a video game magazine. I'm sure you all remember from the 80s and 90s.
Oh, who could forget?
Yeah, who could forget Video Gamely? Well, they're going to make their last issue. It's going to be available at Camp Video Gamely, which is Camp Fangamer has been rebranded. All instances and mentions of Camp Fangamer have been legally erased from existence as per company policy. Please cease remembering Camp Fangamer and replace all instances of that name in your memory with the rebranded Camp Video Gamely. Failure to comply may result in legal action. So they're going to be doing this, you know, this event, talking about video games, talking about business, talking about timeshares, which is really important. If you go, there's a website, timesharereality.angelfire.com.
Is Angel Fire still a thing?
It no. turns out it is.
No.
That's the,
they probably had to buy Angel Fire.
it's the Video Gamely affiliated website where they're going to be giving us some briefings on real estate opportunities. There's a video that kind of explains all this. I highly recommend it. Because Camp Fan Gamer is all about a meta narrative and you finding yourself.
Okay, if this is a joke that you're all in on, I don't understand it.
Perhaps part of the reason the Kickstarter also didn't like have the
because oomph it needed. People didn't understand what it was really.
It so happened confusing. On April 1st.
No.
Okay, well then.
But I highly recommend checking out that website where you can get timeshares in exotic islands, making nowhere somewhere. Which both taglines there, which hint to this Camp Fan Gamer actually being about Mother 3, which it's rumored Nintendo may actually release in the United States for the first time this year.
Yeah, but that's been a rumor for a while, hasn't it?
Never more so than now.
What does Reggie think about this?
No, we
can we get Reggie on the line?
I don't know.
Someone call Reggie.
I'll use my phone a friend.
Thank you.
Let's switch gears entirely. Let's talk about the cosmos. And
with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Mass extinction. Neil deGrasse Tyson loves some mass extinction discussions.
We're going to go see him later, but another story.
Yeah, Brandon, Denica got tickets, so we're all going to see. We're going to go see Neil deGrasse Tyson in person together.
Papa Tyson. Late November.
So look forward to hearing about that months from now. did you know that every 27 million years, Earth has a mass extinction somewhat related to comets?
No.
Well, it's true, apparently. There's fossil data showing that that's a thing that happens. Basically, every 27 million years, there's some extreme comet activity that disrupts life on Earth exponentially.
How close are we to the next?
You know, I don't know.
26,999,000.
The article didn't mention, but of course, that's the first logical question. When do we have to worry about this? What the article I read was actually about was what causes this regular cycle, because that's kind of weird. Why would the universe in all its vastness have something that was so regular as us getting pelted with comets?
I'm going to say Planet X without knowing.
Yes!
Thank you. Okay.
Why did you say that? You knew it, clearly.
Maybe I read that somewhere.
I was going to say Reapers or the bugs from Starship Troopers.
Because Planet X is the cause of every mass extinction, apparently, now. That's like the new fad is Planet X.
So, if you've heard of Planet X, it may be due to some conspiracies and pseudoscience and all that, but not so very long ago, Caltech actually found some credibility to it based on orbital anomalies seen in objects in the Kuiper Belt, which is the ring of comets and Pluto-sized objects out past Neptune, which is why we no longer regard Pluto as an actual planet. It's a dwarf planet comparable in size to many objects in the Kuiper Belt.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of garbage out there, space stuff. And if Planet X has an orbit way out there, Caltech suggests up to 1,000 times more than our distance from the sun, and this planet, 10 times the mass of Earth, is out there kicking around, will it slide through the Kuiper Belt every 27 million years and chucks a bunch of comets out into the rest of the solar system, and they get out there and they do a couple things, or perhaps do a couple things, because this is all highly theoretical. They come out there, they get close to the sun, and they turn into like a big mass of crap that gets in the way of the sun's rays to Earth, diluting the amount of sun we're able to capture.
So it's like a big explosion that has a cloud that's basically going to block sunlight.
Like a foggy day that lasts
for like 100,000 years.
Yeah, and then it evaporates eventually, but that's a problem. And then also they pelt the planet. So that's the theory. And this theory actually goes back to 1985, but it's been brought back by the guy who pitched it. In 1985, these two dudes wrote an article that was published in Nature, and then it actually made the cover of Time magazine. And then
everyone forgot it the next.
Well, like, they presented.
Because there wasn't a lot of evidence to support it, probably.
Yeah, they presented three ideas as to why there were these regular intervals that have been occurring since like for 500 million years. Regularly, this has been happening for 500 million years. And they had three things, two of which have been disproven, and the only thing left is Planet X. And then Caltech says, oh, and so maybe it's real.
Well, they did. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they found Planet X. It's just like on the opposite side of the sun, so we can't ever see it. But they found the gravitational, like, signature and pull of it. Like, they know there is a planet-sized object.
If it has that, like, ridiculous of an orbit, wouldn't we be able to see it at some point during the year?
No, it, like, the orbit literally takes a million years for it, for us to even see it.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's like a ghost in a pile of mathematics.
Yeah.
Like,
I can understand that it's really difficult to detect. It's pretty far out.
Because I know what you're thinking. But I mean,
shouldn't we
see it? Can't be on the other side of the sun.
I know
all
what
the time.
You're thinking. We're
That's
going
the only
around
thing that
the
I'm
sun
saying, Brandon.
In 1 year. So you're like, we should be able to see it.
Well, then it's going around the sun once every, like, what, 28 million years or something? According to this theory?
Yeah, something like that.
That means we're going to see it at least once a year.
Somehow we don't. I forget. There is a legitimate reason. I promise.
All I'm saying
you,
is that the sun is not blocking it. That's not the reason. That can't be. As he sips more.
I think you need... Let me tell you the real theory. Hold on. So, there's a hole inside the sun.
Nope.
That curves like a piece of macaroni.
Nope.
Every time we're about to find the planet X, it dips into this hole.
Wrong.
And then we go around and it comes back out.
No.
It's just nature. I don't make this.
Noodle theory is highly credible.
Noodle theory, which comes after string theory, by the way.
Right. That's
is an emerging new field. Look it up. Noodle theory.
Mm. I'm with Bor on this one. Like, why can't we see it?
I actually knew the answer to this and forgot. I'm not. There is actually a legitimate reason.
Because from what I'm understanding, the problem isn't, oh, we've detected the planet, we just can't see it, but more of like, oh, we've detected an anomaly, it could be a planet.
Well, you know how hard
maybe.
It was to detect Pluto?
Exactly.
Like, this planet.
We can see Pluto!
Okay, barely, but.
No, not barely, we can
barely.
See it!
Barely. This, the orbit of...
Didn't we even send a probe like that?
Yeah,
went really
and we just
close
got new
it?
Pictures. Yeah. High-def photos of the surface of Pluto for the first time.
The orbit of Planet X is so far out there that we wouldn't be able to see it because of how dark it is. Even with infrared, there's a lot
we
of interference.
We can see planets, like exoplanets on
other
stars.
We see it pass in front of the
stars. Yeah, we have to see shadows and stuff.
What's it? The Kepler program is looking for other planets in other solar systems and finding them.
But
and we can't find a planet that's just outside of
this,
the Oort cloud.
This
can't
planet,
even get beyond the Oort cloud.
This planet is too close to us to use another star as a shadow reference, but it's too far from us to use our own star for some reason.
Okay, fair point. You can't
use
a shadow reference.
It goes like around us, so we can't use it
as a fair
star.
But so we can't use the Kepler program to find Planet X.
Dude, that's all I got.
I get that. That's all I got. But you tell me, with everything at our disposal, we can't find it another way? I know they're looking.
Here's why it's challenging to find...
Dude, we only started space in the 40s, okay?
Good data on Planet X. Because Planet X is wrapped up in some of the most nutbar, beautiful conspiracy theory nonsense you've ever seen.
Like Lizard. Time Cube equivalent.
Where do you think lizard people come from?
Okay, guys, I'm on...
Hey, are you about to talk shit about Time Cube?
I never heard the lizard theory mixed with...
Word God is bad math, okay?
Okay.
So just straight up, get out of here.
Right.
Time cube in life, time cube in death. I don't know. I'm just we did a special on the time cube. We'll link to it right here. It's complicated. I found a Blogspot page called Brussels Sprout, which has a post from a day ago titled "Giant Celestial Wrecking Ball Headed Towards Earth."
Is it just a picture of like Miley Cyrus?
And here's what's
on our record.
I was only able to skim
this. I hope that's
this,
what's on Planet X.
But it's talking about Planet X, aka Nibiru, aka the Destroyer, aka Wormwood, aka the Frightener, aka the Terrible Comet, aka Herclobius.
What?
Girl, I'm going to Herclobius later.
It should be aka Galactus.
AKA Galactus. But then as I proceed to scroll down, it's gotta be like a joke page. I don't know. It's not. I'm sure it's not. It's showcasing events of clouds being lit up during the sunset in the opposite direction. So clouds in the eastern skyline glowing as the sun's setting in the west as signs of celestial objects, AKA Planet X, like nearing Earth orbit. Like it's
what does that have to do with anything?
It's insane. It shows a completely normal eastern twilight sunset in Fort Lauderdale on Fort Lauderdale Beach, and it says the eastern horizon was lit up by Planet X in purple, yellow, and orange on Tuesday evening.
Oh, so they're saying this happened.
They're saying it happens regularly. And
like,
it's like once every couple years. This was why I wish it was a joke site, and I'm not sure it is. I'm really not sure. And it
never is.
It's basically they're like the sun is setting. And some clouds are getting lit up. Fuck, Planet X. Fuck, we're fucked.
Planet X.
So let's talk about spiders.
Oh, but do we have to, please?
I really don't want to.
We had one episode where we went into it for a few minutes.
Is there more stuff about spiders?
Oh, yeah. I was under the impression, Doug, I was informed by you that there was much more to say about spiders.
More about games that have to do with spiders.
Is that not the same thing? It's. I mean, when you have a VR helmet on, it's as real as it can be.
Yeah. I guess just the update is that we did an episode a little while back where we were talking about VR, and I threw out this idea of a spider encounter in VR, and we threw out the name Spider Simulator, and we just started joking about it, and then I went home and I couldn't stop thinking about how funny it would be.
It is no joke, thank you.
Yeah, it's a joke no longer, sir, because I'm working with a good friend of mine, and we're actually going to try to develop Spider Simulator.
Nope.
And to make it a Oculus compatible, HTC Vive compatible first person.
We discussed it has to be multiplayer though.
Well, we're going to do a proof of concept first. And I'm serious. Please tell me,
is this real?
I swear to you, this is real.
Maybe a mysterious accident.
No. We're really going to do a proof of concept first. It's going to be just you in a small room, like maybe a bathroom at first, and just to see if the concept will even work. And we're going to send it out as a demo, be free to play, and then we'll get feedback, and we're going to eventually build up to say, all right, we're going to release a full game where it's going to be like several different scenarios, and we want to add in multiplayer as well, where you'd be able to play a spider's customized pick spider.
Early on, can you add in a gasping huntsman as the spider?
Why not? That'll be the first spider we'll make.
It should be the first spider, especially since it'll be big, so you'd be able to see it more easily.
Yeah, Huntsman.
They have lugs.
I know we want to do Huntsman, Brown Recluse, maybe a wolf spider.
The Brown Recluse, you just kind of randomly see your leg starts rotting.
Yeah.
you don't ever see the spider.
Can we have a daddy long legs?
Those aren't spiders.
What?
They're not spiders.
Then why am I scared of them?
Because they move like a spider. Fucking gross.
Because it's an irrational fear.
Explain now to me why they're not spiders. Because this is obviously a real thing, and I don't understand it. I think I've heard this before, Doug.
I couldn't tell you the scientific... It's like not even the same genus. It's not even the same something.
They're like a stick bug.
Yeah, it's like a stick bug that they eat flies. I mean,
all right, well, I'm no longer scared of daddy longlegs.
Yeah, and they can't even bite you. Like, their teeth are so weak, they can't even bite you.
It only looks like they're an arachnid because they have long antenna that hit the ground.
Don't they have eight legs? Front.
Yeah, that's the thing. They have six legs.
Oh, so they're like the squid.
With two antenna that stick out in front as though...
So, six legs, not an arachnid. Yeah. It's an insect.
Harvest men.
What the fuck is it?
Harvest Men.
I just told you, it's an insect.
Is that in relation to Harvest Moon, but you only date sexy farmer boys?
No, Harvest Men is what Daddy Longlegs are called.
Oh.
But either way, we're making it, and it's going to be a little slow going because we're going to make sure we're going to get this proof of concept one single room experience done first. And like I said, they are arachnids, though. How are they arachnids? I thought they only had six legs. Like a scorpion
is an arachnid?
Yeah. It says they
are. Scorpions are arachnids?
They're an opaline.
That's my favorite gemstone.
Which is in the order of arachnids, so they're very closely related to spiders.
Their body is very tiny.
That's close enough.
Comparatively.
That's close enough to spiders.
Well, scorpions, also arachnids, because on account of the claws.
Well, then you wouldn't put scorpions in there, only eight legs.
Maybe as bonus content.
Or like a hat for a spider. It would be a scorpion attached to it.
A scorpion riding a giant spider.
If you want to make sure the game becomes funny and not terrifying, give them like, you know, beer hats and like...
No, that would be
cowboy
terrifying.
Hats on the
oh,
spiders.
We already... And like, I mean, it's not really fair to talk about...
You have to purchase those. It's a free-to-play spider simulator, but you have to purchase all the spider hats.
No, we wouldn't do any of that crap. But like...
Oh, yes, you would.
I thought you wanted to make money, son.
No. It's just you get to customize your spider, but you get to pick... Maybe we'll have different... See, the difference... If we get to multiplayer, different spiders will have different powers, and you can pick like what power up you're going to do when you go in. Because the goal is one person plays as a human.
This is for scientific research to learn about spiders.
Yeah, one person will play as the human, and you got to just kill the spiders. And like four other people will play as a spider.
Can you unlock cards as you go?
Why not?
That may or may not unlock additional spiders.
Thicker web.
But right now I'm just telling you like what the far end blue sky goal is. But the realistic thing we're working towards first is building a single room and seeing if the idea even works in VR, because like we're talking about like I can't remember what we were talking about, but we were talking about another VR experience and it just wasn't working.
Where you land on people like
that wasn't VR.
But either way, we want to see if can we make a room? Can we make you a person?
Well, you can.
Right, but when we put a spider in the room and it moves around, if you wear a VR headset,
nope.
First of all, could you even see it? Is it too far? Is it too small? Is it hard to play the game?
I want it to be a realistic size.
You know,
spider.
Actually, I think that you should do it exclusively for the HTC Vive, and here's why. One, because the Oculus terms of service are kind of ridiculous.
That's going to bridge the gap into that. Yeah,
but we'll get to that in a second. But here's why I think you should. I bet Valve would pay you to make this game if you pitch it to them as a spider simulator where you use the motion controllers to squish the spider, because they'll break so many of those controllers. They'll just make a ton of money off of replacement controllers. You might be able to just give that game away for free, and Valve will just
All we have to do is model the controllers in your hands when you play the game, but then to have it be like, you'll just look and the spider's on the controller, so you just want to drop it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, oh, gotta replace it. Shit.
But if you're using the wrist strap, then it'll like look like the spider's just kind of dangling below your hand.
Wait, yeah. if you're using it
start to crawl up towards you.
If you're using a VR helmet, do they not have, at least one of them has a camera, so you can augmented reality. So why can't you have spiders in your actual own room?
Well, the augmented reality is a whole other thing that I don't even know if we know how to do. I mean,
because Vive does have
spider multiplayer wouldn't
kind
be
of
viable.
An AR mode. It looks kind of like Tron, where it will actually map the land in 3D around you, so you
if the first game is a success,
up in a cord or something, so
and we make a Kickstarter and it makes $2 million. Sure.
Well, after this you have to patent it before this airs, or else they'll steal your idea, everyone.
You can't. I mean, I guess you could.
You could legally.
Could you steal it without if I say here? But this is proof that we thought of it.
Oculus and Facebook could.
They could be like, we've been working on this for years. Here's the date.
the conception of this was recorded live in a previous episode of Nerdy Show.
So,
what are you thinking for graphics? Unreal Engine?
Actually, Unreal 4.
Unreal 4. Oh, yeah.
If you want to hear more about Spider Simulator, there was a conversation that happened behind the scenes, which we've released as a Patreon perk, of all kinds of talk about the logistics of the multiplayer and what that could mean. It's about 6-7 minutes.
And I thought you were going to say hours. I was like, what?
I wasn't there for that. I want to play it,
but I also don't want to play it.
We're trying to define the fine line between just a VR experience and an actual game, like the gameplay of it. So we're still working on that, and I'm still looking forward to it.
I'm telling you, man, all these great ideas for it. Spider swatting and talk to Valve.
That would be the number one thing, I don't want to get into it because I'll talk for another hour. But we're looking into it. I think it would be too comical, though,
if you had to, you're like fly swatters.
I think they'll make a ton of money on hardware.
Well, I think you have to punch the spiders to destroy them.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you'd have to hold the controller to do that.
Yeah,
if you did it wrong, you would smash.
Just crush it in your hand.
Anywho, but tying into the Oculus Rift thing, because this is a bigger deal.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that I backed the Vive instead of the Rift with the way everything's been going.
I don't know anything about this, so please enlighten me.
Well, it started with Oculus being bought by Facebook, and now...
And I immediately became turned off to the whole thing.
Yeah, and
they have all the money. I mean, what would they possibly do to it besides throw money at it?
Oculus had like a stupidly successful Kickstarter, and they had really big names behind them.
Oh, so they sold out.
Really need to be acquired by Facebook. They didn't need that.
So we didn't know that it was going to be bad. We just knew in our hearts that things were going to go south. And now, according to the terms of service, they truly have.
Yeah, let me read a little excerpt from the terms of service that basically says that when you use the Oculus, they own everything having to do with it if you create something with the Oculus. Right here it says, by submitting user content through the services, you grant Oculus a worldwide, irrevocable, perpetual, non-exclusive, transferable, royalty-free, and fully sub-licensable, as in they can give it to other people, right to use, copy, display, store, adapt, publicly perform, and distribute your user content in connection with the services. You irrevocably consent to any and all acts or omissions by us or persons authorized by us that may infringe any moral right or analogous right in your user content.
So that's literally the
worst thing you could do.
If you're just creating
I don't think they can sell it, according to this, but they can use it and distribute it.
So they can take your content and credit you by the sound of it.
So I'm a little confused. If you're making like a mod for like Fallout 4, but it just happens to use VR and you use the Oculus when you're doing that, it's theirs now.
It says they can't own it. They can't own it, but they can use it for basically anything, and they don't have to pay you.
Nice.
And there's also other privacy stuff, not just in regards to them.
There's an app that you have to install with the Oculus, the Oculus Store, and along with the app and the drivers, people noticed that this was kind of like running in the background all the time, and some people.
is collecting data.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing, you can look at your computer and see where it's making connections and what kind of data is being sent. And they found some scary things that it was sending constantly to Facebook.
Like what are even when you weren't redness?
Using even when you weren't using the Oculus. Let's see,
like a microphone on or
It doesn't say anything about that. Let me see. But it says in the terms of service, information about your interactions with the service, like information about the games, content, apps, or other experiences you interact with.
So if you're,
which is
if
extremely
you're on,
vague,
if you're on Pornhub with your Oculus, they'll know
information
you
collected
yeah, pretty much.
In or through cookies, local storage, pixels, and similar technologies.
They'll know what cookies you eat.
Like they
it's really broad. It goes on and on and on. I could read a lot more of these experts.
But basically, you're opening your computer to them.
Yeah,
and they can see where you go.
It's really kind of scary.
If you even plug it in, the app can just see anything on your computer.
They want to know everything about you so they can better market to you.
Right,
and
that's their excuse.
Conversely, other shit. Yeah. You know whatever kind of NSA nonsense you want to imagine. It
that's
could,
why
could
I,
be
I'm,
that bad.
I'm going to sound like I'm on scale watchers, but like that's why I have removed a lot of my information on Facebook. It's just sort of my picture from like literally 10 years ago. And, it doesn't know what to sell me and like the pop-up windows like on the sides. So I'll make a comment on someone's page. I remember when I may have been commenting on something Cap did or something, my wife Nina did. And I commented by quoting a line from Back to the Future. And then for the next 2 days, I saw Back to the Future t-shirts pop up. So it read my comment.
But didn't
comment.
You want a new Back to the Future t-shirt?
No, but it read it all. Like, and I never comment on people's stuff.
But
because
it knew
I made
that
a funny
you wanted
comment.
A t-shirt.
No,
Doug.
I didn't even know I wanted a t-shirt. It's that it read my comment in context and knew that it was a quote from Back to the Future. And then they all that stuff keeps popping up.
Doug, my question is, and I don't work for Facebook at all, why don't you want those Back to the Future t-shirts?
I don't
because
want...
Because you like the movies, obviously. Why don't you want a new shirt?
The shirt's not the problem. The fact that it's trying to present me something, taking the smallest nugget of information I give it...
Got it. Presentation. Got it.
Yeah, there you go. Fine. Presentation.
Mine keeps offering me penis pills and gay porn, and I swear I don't click on any
of that
stuff.
I don't know. That in itself isn't too weird to me, especially since Google does that exact same thing. I mean
everything.
They read that. Through your Gmail and throw in ads that are related to that. I mean, I've got an ad blocker, so most of the time those
that's,
don't get
I
through
guess
to me.
Because I have the ad blocker, I don't even notice that stuff. So
exactly.
I guess my question is this only happening because Facebook acquired it, or is this something the Oculus would have done anyway? That's what I want to know.
Definitely.
It's assumed Facebook is the cause, but this has to be something they've been working on for a long time.
Who else could do much with that information? Like, Facebook can actually take that information and do really evil
things
with it.
Well, maybe
didn't Facebook buy WhatsApp?
Maybe.
It's a good name.
I'm not sure.
And then, but like, they just want the data of all the users, you know? It's like, just,
yeah, they just really want
data is like the most important thing. When you want to sell to people, it's like, you want to know what are their habits? What do they like?
Okay, but there's no guarantee that every other VR helmet is not going to do the same thing.
I can't think of
HTC,
a single person.
Well, HTC Vive is owned by HTC. I don't think they'd be bought out by Facebook.
That doesn't matter though. Did they come out and say, we're not going to have an app to spy on you too? No,
they haven't, but I'm sure, but you can look, but anybody can read the user agreement.
Nobody has said anything negative about the, like the pre-release versions of the Vive so far in that regard. It's HTC
just
and
be
Valve.
Be careful before you click yes.
But this isn't a pre-release version, this is a final version.
If you trust Steam as much as you should trust the Vive because it's directly integrated with Steam. So.
Steam
as much as Steam is
things.
On and tries to collect data, it's not likely going to go beyond that.
It's a weird, weird, weird world.
I didn't want the Oculus
anyway.
I just
can't think of anybody that read about the Facebook acquisition of Oculus and thought, that's a great idea. That's going to improve the product.
I actually know one.
Like, what's it going to do?
I mean, I actually know one.
It infused some cash to them, but beyond that, I mean, what could possibly come of that?
I'm not mentioning any names. I just saw someone on Facebook post, like, I'm really happy to support this product and have one and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but they must have read that before they got it.
People must have liked the product, but for it to be enhanced by Facebook, I don't understand how that would be. Nobody has heralded that as like a feature.
One of the things that the Vive led with was that video of the famous Disney character designer painting in a virtual space with the Vive, which is something that like you can do out the box with the tools that come with Vive. A creative expression, an art tool built into the hardware itself.
But now they own it if you do that.
No.
Because this is Vive.
This is Vive.
Oh, Vive. Which
basically, that was the Oculus. Like, they would own whatever you
pay. And that's what I was getting at. If anybody created an art program for use with the Oculus, Facebook would be able to take the artwork you've created in virtual space and reproduce it indefinitely.
Like, what if that's your business? You're using VR to somehow create a design for a company.
Then you better not probably fucking not use an Oculus.
To, like, walk through homes to see what they look like and things like that.
Because if you do something and it looks really good, Facebook could then take it and make an ad out of it. Like, literally. Yeah. Like, that's why they you have to go into your settings and say, don't use my friends in ads. Because they will do it. They'll say, did you know that Brandon liked this page recently? And it'll be like, all
I don't like any pages, so that wouldn't happen.
But they'll still use you to do that. And they'll use photos if you don't go into
Brandon
the
Brandon recently bought
they'll
penis
do that about
pills.
Products and stuff too, like not just liking pages.
Exactly. Yeah.
Guys, this is depressing, but that Oculus ship sailed long ago for me, so I'm okay with that.
Well, we always like to end on a somber note here on Nerdy Show.
So. My family's dead.
I have tetanus.
I'm so glad that you got tetanus.
Can I talk about something else that's really funny?
Sure.
So, okay, Dark Souls 3 is literally coming out in like a week.
Uh-huh. Are you excited?
Oh my god, I want to take off work, but I can't. But I'm just gonna stay up all night and try not to die. Okay, but here's
the
thing.
Wrong game for that, son.
Namco Bandai done fucked up. They sent out They sent out a bunch of copies to content creators, and what happened was,
AKA YouTubers.
Yeah, and I don't know why they would do that. Except you've told me that it's
they want them to review it and say this is a great game.
Oh
yeah,
they did review it. They posted the entire game. Several of them. There's boss rushes already. There's the entire game rush. There's the entire game. Literally every boss, every item, everything already out there. You can watch the whole game. And Namco Bandai has recently, too little, too late, saying they are not allowed. They put like a moratorium or whatever, like saying you cannot stream anymore until the game is released. But the damage is already done. Yeah. And I don't understand why you would give this game to people to create content for YouTube like a week
like
or two
gonna,
before
like
the game's
sit
out.
On it?
Like they're not going to stream?
Like
that's their main thing.
Yeah, that's Namco Bandai's bad.
They stream it while they're playing. Like,
yeah, and they say, oh, I'm really digging this. Yeah. This sounds really cool.
And then it gets recorded.
When we were given the pre-release of Guitar Hero, like,
oh, we were told that you cannot put any of this.
Yeah, like we there's agreements. And either those people violated those agreements or Namco Bandai didn't issue those agreements.
They didn't. I don't think they did. They just weren't worried about it. And now they are probably never going to do this again.
They probably thought it was going to be like, oh, awesome promotion. Yeah.
Now, it's not a big deal. If you want to play the game and you don't want it ruined, just don't watch. Don't search for it watch it. But
the fact that it's just out there.
Yeah, the entire game already. Yeah. So if you want to see the entire game and think maybe you'll buy it, go watch
also, it's a game
the
that's,
video.
That's famous for being very difficult. So to watch people like, oh, how did this person beat this boss? Okay.
And it's a game they don't want leaked because they want you to experience the atmosphere for the first time and like what's around this corner. Nothing or death. And like you can see everything now. So, which is why I'm just not going to be stupid or watch it. I'm just going to play the game when it comes out in a week.
Well,
I'm not going to be stupid and play the game.
You really should.
I hate
a MOBA now.
Games. It's not a MOBA.
Fine, whatever.
I don't even like MOBAs. That's not a selling point for me.
Dude, I heard you're all about MOBAs.
No,
you don't
not.
Like the Dark Souls series?
No, I don't.
What about Demon's Souls?
I call
Souls?
It fighting in hallways.
Have you ever played a hallway fighting simulator before as good as Dark Souls? No, you haven't.
I think Superhot's pretty good.
Could you imagine Dark Souls with like VR helmet? Fuck.
No, I
no,
could not.
Yeah, no,
no
okay.
I'd take off the helmet immediately and play something else.
Oh,
like Spider
suck.
Simulator.
You guys don't like FLCL, you don't like Dark Souls. I'm in the wrong show.
I appreciate FLCL. I just recognize that it's not for me.
Do you appreciate the challenging toughness of Dark Souls?
I do. I really do. And the art direction.
It is hard to fight in hallways.
Oh my god. The art direction for
I met
games.
The creator and he gave me an iPhone charger so my iPhone would stop dying.
Yeah.
It's a really good charger too. It lasts for like 12 hours. It's legit. Anyway.
The charger does?
Well, you just plug it into your phone and it just charges your phone.
He gave you a battery.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it was a fun novelty giveaway at E3. It was.
You can use it to charge it or just leave it
in. Oh, by the way, it's probably worth noting, we're likely not going to E3 this year.
E3 is a pile of mess right now.
We've covered them since 2009, since the inception of Nerdy Show, and it's always been a great time, but the convention is kind of falling apart, and it's also really expensive to go to.
And
so,
a lot of big names have pulled out already.
Or, like, moved across the street, and it's impossible to cover them, like, all of everything that's going on.
So we're just going to
We're just going to call it there.
We're going to see what happens this year and see what other... They're all, like, trying to form their own conventions.
Well,
now,
yeah,
like
I mean, when
company.
Stuff comes out, we'll still talk about it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah. Unfortunately, we won't be able to get the year ahead of time insights that we've had.
I'm okay with not flying in a giant death trap over the mountains and desert.
You need to get over that, son.
Even if I live and survive the crash, I'm in a fucking desert. Thank you. Horrible way to die.
Mm. He doesn't like flying. That's why he's drinking so much.
I like birds, and I've flown a plane, which is scary, but being in a plane that I have no control over, no, scary. But you know they pump gas through those vents, so you don't know you're about to die.
I personally would feel a lot safer if somebody else was piloting other than you, so I would hope that you would have that same mindset,
too. I couldn't roll that plane if I tried. It was really... Anyway.
Do a barrel roll!
Pap, can you do me a favor? Can you smell this?
I can smell it from here, motherfucker!
Just let me get it. Just tell me what it smells like, what bouquet that
is. Kino,
what? You're not really smelling it. You're not really smelling it.
Oh, I'm not really smelling it. Fuck you, I'm not really smelling it. I couldn't help but
You'd be
smell
like,
it. This smells like grain alcohol. This might as well be moonshine.
I wish it was.
This is the worst episode of Kino.
Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Remember, back us on Patreon if you want some cool perks. Check out last week's episode if you didn't, because it's super strange, and I don't want to say any more than that.
And we all like strange.
And write us a review on iTunes, or at the very least, shoot us a rating. But if you write us a review, nerdyshow.com/bento giveaway, and we will send you a box full of comic books. Why the hell not? Bye. I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Brandon.
I'm Boar.
Bye, I'm Doug.
And taking us out is a brand new song from Portland punk rockers, Thundering Asteroids. This is from a recent single, which is the hip new way to say you've released a single on cassette.
Oh, no.
As a limited release that comes with digital download,
of course. Did they really make cassettes?
Well, yeah.
Oh, God.
They only made like 80 of them or something.
My car still has one, a cassette player.
I want to facepalm so much, but I don't even want to go through the effort for that.
It's a novelty thing. Most people buy them and they don't even have tape players.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody has tape players anymore.
It's an objet d'art, if you will. But that doesn't mean it's a good thing. It's just fun. It's fun. It's a fun thing. Anyhow.
I feel the same way about records, though. So.
This is a track called Polybius, based on the video game arcade cabinet that may or may not have ever existed.
Is that the one that kills people?
The very same.
Okay. Yeah,
the one that drives you crazy?
Yeah.
So punk rock about Polybius? Yeah. Good move. Good job, Thundering Asteroids. Here we go.
Kasingle.
They didn't come up with it. It's not theirs.
I know.
It's a hip thing for hipsters to do.
Kasingles have been a thing, like, you know, that was a thing in the 80s and 90s.
But did they call them kasingles?
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not a new... I wasn't
familiar with that term.
I wasn't, what the fucking the term? It was, why are they doing that?
I wasn't familiar with the turn of phrase until, I mean, I heard it like a couple years ago. And...
Wow, I can't believe you got that far without hearing kasingle.
I've never heard kasingle. I own many kasingles,
really?
But I thought it was a dating site for kasingles.
Kasingles.com.
Go to a doctor, I've got kashingles. This actually tastes like B tiers in a vacuum cleaner.
What?
In a vacuum cleaner.
This guy needs to guest on Quinoa.
New game in the city of roses. Make you play until the arcade closes. Many chords I'm never gonna quit. Invected lines and 8-bit sounds. 8-bit sounds. Lost the name or art can act. Maybe I can ask these nice men in black. Men in black. Read my mind just like brains can't follow all the data that they can't track. They can't track. I don't think God is watching me, but I don't care just what you see. As long as my initials are on the screen. Maybe I'll see. Never looked up to the service, but I'm feeling really sick and a little nervous now. Nervous now. Might be a kid for a secret militia, but that classified data they will disavow. Disavow. Can't not be at this art cabinet, even though it's part of the government plot. Government plot. So as that seems good for new old ones, I put another coin into the corner slot. Corner slot. I don't think God is watching me, but I don't care just what to see. As long as my initials are on the screen. Previous. 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 Piddies. P-O-L-Y-P-I-U-S Piddies. P-O-L-Y-P-I-U-S Piddies.
I just drank like a shot or two of whiskey, and thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. Like and follow us on SoundCloud or Audioboom. As listeners support and entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show. I'm not drunk on the Nerdy Show Network
over here.
Alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. And I can still read this, even drunk. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or the company... To find out how you or your company... Stop making me laugh, guys!
We're not doing
almost
anything.
To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorship. Sponsorships. There's an S at the end of that. I have to swallow. Hold on. Okay, I'm good. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we got it covered. That was really hard to do.
I think that was the longest outro ever.
Can you get a slide trombone playing How Dry I Am?
All right.
Done.
You can record a different one if you'd like.
No, that was great.
Morty, we gotta get to nerdyshow.com, Morty.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.